website. The Willoughby City Council acknowledges the traditional owners of the land in which we meet today, the Garamaragal people, and their connections to lands, waters and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, including those who may be in attendance today. The meeting today is to consider three development applications listed on the council agenda. Panel members have read the agenda papers for the meeting and submissions received and had a briefing from council staff on the items on the agenda. The panel members for this meeting are myself, Graham Brown, as the independent chair, Deborah Sutherland and Sue Weatherly as the independent experts, and community representative Rodney Linzel. Please be assured that the panel will be making its decisions today on planning merits of each application and following consideration of the views expressed in submissions and by people addressing the panel. Determinations and any relevant decision of the panel shall be by a majority of votes of members present at the meeting and entitled to vote. In the event of an equality of voting, the chair will have a casting vote. It is very important that both speakers and panelists speak clearly and loudly enough to be picked up by the microphones. Members of the public addressing this meeting may have the image, voice and personal information, including name and address, recorded, publicly broadcast and archived. By addressing this meeting, you consent to this use of your image, voice and personal information. Please refrain from making any defamatory statements and ensure there is no personal criticism directed at any speaker, the panel or council staff. Please note that statements made and actions taken during the LEPP meeting are those of the individuals making them and not those of the Willoughby Council or the local planning panel. For each item where members of the public and applicants have registered to address the panel, we will hear from members of the public, followed by the applicant or the applicant's representative, who may like to address issues raised by members of the public. Please note there is a 3-minute time limit for each speaker. Speakers are reminded again to speak clearly and loudly. The panel may ask questions of the speakers to clarify our understanding of what is being said. Please note that the panel has received and reviewed all submissions prior to consideration and determination of all agenda items. For the meeting today, we have three items. The first item is DA2019/391/A, 11 Minamurra Road, Northbridge. Two, DA2019/47/B, 55 Nirram Road, Castle Cove. And the third item, DA2023/253, 18 to 24 Smith Street, Chatswood.
Excuse me, Graham. It's the public meeting, so only one item is up on the agenda for the public meeting, which is DA2023-253, 18 to 22 Smith Street.
Yep. Thank you. Of the three items, only one item is a matter that requires the public to address the matter, have given the opportunity for the public to address the council, the planning panel. The other two items will be dealt with in accordance with the adopted process, which does not involve public consultation and the opportunity for public to comment on it. The third item, so we'll move straight to the third item, which is 18 to 22 Smith Street, Chatswood. We have three nominated speakers. There are no speakers registered from any local resident. The three speakers are are those from the applicant, the representatives from the applicant. I would ask the first speaker to come forward. That is Mr. Sky Baker from McDonald's Australia. The other two speakers are Tim Rogers of Colston, Budd, Rogers and Capes, and Rachel McNeil from SLR Consulting. Can I ask, of the three speakers, is there going to be a main speaker, or is each providing a presentation?
Rachel
Sky?
McNeil here. I can probably answer that for you. I think Skye would like to speak briefly just on behalf of McDonald's. Tim Rogers will just request a matter for consideration for the panel in relation to one of the conditions. And I'm happy to take any overarching questions from the panel should they arise.
Okay, so the first speaker, Rachel, was it? I'm sorry, Sky Baker was speaking first. Is that correct?
Lovely.
Yeah, we're happy with that.
I'm happy to speak first, if that's okay.
Okay, Sky, you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Wonderful. And I just wanted to quickly declare before I speak on behalf of McDonald's that I am actually a local resident, having lived in Castle Crag for 17 years, so part of the Willoughby community. Macca's has been a part of the Lower North Shore community since 1979 when we opened the Cremorne store. And for those of us who've grown up around the area, you'll remember our Chatswood stores down near Chatswood Chase many moons ago, and now, of course, at Chatswood Interchange. So, one thing that we have wanted to do for a long time is have a drive-through presence in Chatswood, and we're so excited to have this application considered today. I think it becomes a bit personal as a mother of teens and also being someone in the community. Knowing the jobs that it creates and our contribution to the community outside of Macca's, which also I'm very passionate about. I see it every day in my work. I look after new stores and construction and existing stores and consider jobs it creates through construction and the ongoing contribution. And actually, the investment in the store is about $10 million for the local community. So it's not a decision that we make lightly. Our local franchisee in the area, you may know from interactions with local sporting groups and communities, Bernard Kelly. And he actually started as a crew member with us 27 years ago. So he's really built strong contribution community connections in the area and most recently opened a store at Victoria Cross at North Sydney. I've heard many of the concerns from the local area, both through the application process and just by chatting to people locally, and also wanted to just flag that we're really committed to being a good neighbour. And I know in the Smith Street area, in particular, concerns around traffic and how the area's developed. And so we've been really conscious to listen to concerns of both council and also the local community. And looked at including a number of measures in the development, which I think we've responded to with council, to make sure that we limit the application, the impact of traffic and noise and waste. And then the final piece, being very intentional about not building a standard McDonald's store, but something that really fits within the community and also that area. So from a McDonald's perspective, they were the main things we wanted to raise. And just again to say thank you for considering the application and your really constructive response to and queries to get this application to the point where it could be heard today.
Sky, you've seen the report. Are there any conditions that you have a problem with?
What I will do is keep that for Rachel, who has been our planner on the project. There was a couple of things that we'd love to talk through, but I don't think there's anything that we were especially concerned about. Rach, have I got that right, or can I hand over to you?
Yeah, let's hear from Rachel now and she
Yeah.
can address that. Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Rachel, are you
No
there?
problem. Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay.
Just on Firstly, on behalf of McDonald's and SLR, I would like to thank Council, particularly Adiba, Akshay, and Ritu for their ongoing efforts assessing this DA. We're obviously here today to support and endorse the recommendation put forward to the panel by council to support this and approve this application subject to the conditions. There is the exception of one condition, which is condition 14, which requires the traffic and queue management plan relating to the drive-through. We've got Tim Rogers on the line, who has been our traffic engineer for this project, who is going to speak to the specifics around why we don't think that condition is necessary. And essentially it comes down to the numerical compliance with the Transport for New South Wales guidelines for drive-through queues. Tim will speak further to that. I guess I probably don't need to speak for 3 minutes here. I'm happy to take any questions should the panel have any after reading the report.
Okay, if you can stay there, and I'll ask the panel if there are any questions that they would like answered. Sue, any questions?
I had only one question, sorry. From a planning point of view, just thinking about this proposal and having reviewed the objectives of the E4 zone, which is this site is in, can you just comment on how you think it meets the objectives of the zone?
Yeah, no problems. Just give me 2 seconds and I'll pull those objectives up so I can actually speak to them. Yeah, no problems. Yeah, more than happy to speak to these, Sue. I guess the zone objectives are overarching for all permitted land uses. This is a takeaway food and drink premise, which is permitted within this zone. Obviously, condition number 4 is to encourage employment opportunities, which Guy touched on. A McDonald's operation absolutely does this throughout both construction and operation. The main objective, I guess, is to provide facilities which service and meet the needs of businesses and workers. A McDonald's being a takeaway food and drink premise absolutely does that, and we will continue in its operation to support those businesses and workers in this area.
Thank you. I've got to unmute myself. Thank you.
Rachel, you've got that open. Can I just ask you to read out the lead-in to those objectives? There is something that the council as well as the panel must do in terms of the objectives. Is that to make sure they're consistent, or is it they've got to be considered? What is the requirement for the objectives in the LEP? I haven't got it open at the moment, so.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I've got the Statement of Environmental Effects.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can open the legislation. So the LEP simply states the objectives of the zone. From my experience, and there's no preamble to that within the LEP, from my experience, the panel and council are required to consider zone objectives. There is no requirement, though, for a development to meet every single zone objectives. That obviously does not align with the permitted land uses for every zone. So in this case, as I noted, and I can, you know, reading between the lines here, we are a takeaway food and service, which is...
Rachel, look, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I've just looked it up myself. Clause 22.32 in brackets says the consent authority must have regard to the objectives for development in a zone when determining a development application in respect of land within the zone. So the test is the council as well as the plan, the local planning panel must have regard to the objective. So, okay, so I'm sorry, I should have looked it up myself. I thought you had
No, that's all right. And I think to that, having regard to it, I think we well and truly satisfy a number of those objectives in terms of supporting the needs of the workers in the area and providing employment opportunities.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Deborah, you got any questions?
Yes, so what businesses are you supporting 24 hours a day there? Are there any other 24-hour open businesses nearby?
I don't believe so. Sky could probably talk to that in more detail. We do acknowledge that council have chosen to restrict trading hours to drive-through only during that nighttime period, and we're happy to accept that condition.
Yeah, I can confirm that. Doing all my shopping and everything down in that area, quite correct that at the moment there is nothing that is 24 hours there. Being aware of that and understanding that has been quite an integral part of our business, when our team looked at the site, we were extremely conscious to try and locate a site where there wasn't significant residential interface, rather an area where there was commercial and other uses, so that our impact on residents in terms of noise, it was absolutely minimal in those hours.
Yeah, but you appreciate the objective states for workers, to support workers and businesses. Doesn't say anything else about general community, which will be the ones who are doing it after hours. Anyway, just a question. It was just a question.
Sure. Deborah, anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay. Rodney.
I had a similar question to Deborah regarding the supporting other workers in the precinct. I appreciate up to probably 10 p.m., which is when Woolworths, I think, have operating hours going. There's an understandable connection, but post that, I do wonder which workers you're supporting. And I wondered about your views on an initial trial period for opening hours beyond, say, 10 p.m.
Rach, did you want to take that one?
Yeah, look, I think we would first and foremost ask council to consider this on its merits. We have provided the information in terms of noise traffic to address council and the community's concerns in terms of an amenity impact trading, you know, through that nighttime period. But at the end of the day, if the panel deem that a necessary condition to comply with and to include in this DA, McDonald's will work to comply with that and would accept that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no questions. So the last person from your group is Tim Rogers. Tim, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Chair. like Sky, I'm also a local of the area, and I can actually say there is one business that is open after 10 o'clock. It is Woolworths, but not as a retail. It does operate as a home delivery service. So while there's no customers or vehicles leaving the site, they do operate at night packing up stuff for home deliveries the next day. So being limited, but there is one business that does open, operate effectively 24/7 in the area. And I know Woolworths would like to expand that operation at some time in the future, but that's subject, obviously, to a future DA. The one question that I'd like the council to the panel to consider is whether condition 14 is required. And as Rachel identified, condition 14 is for a queuing and traffic management plan to be prepared. And it really results from some concerns that the council traffic engineers had, where they've suggested the potential for queuing out of the drive through on the upper level back out through the roundabout on Smith Street and lower Gibb Street, and also with vehicles turning to and from the access on Smith Street. In the report, we acknowledge that access onto Smith Street should be left in, left out. And to reinforce that, Council's imposed Condition 15, which we support, which is provide a median in Smith Street opposite the side access with pedestrian refuges at the existing roundabout to improve pedestrian connectivity. I can confirm that the proposed median in Smith Street would not impact on any access to properties on the other side of Smith Street. There are no driveways there. There is an anaconda on the opposite corner, and it has access from Lower Gibb Street. Also, the works that are being suggested by council can readily be accommodated. They are similar to what was provided for the recently constructed Woolworths development up at the corner of Elaine Street and Smith Street, where a roundabout and pedestrian refuges were provided. So we have no problems with that condition being accepted and whether those measures can be successfully implemented. In terms of the drive-through, we've based the assessment on Transport for New South Wales guidelines, which are based on extensive surveys. And they suggest for a McDonald's specifically, the queuing should be for 10 to 12 cars from the collection point, which includes a minimum of 4 cars queuing from the order point, which is based on a single order point and a single wait bay. This development provides queuing for 12 cars from the order point within the site, with including queuing for 6 cars from the order points, dual order points, and 2 wait bays. So it exceeds the Transport for New South Wales requirements instead of queuing for a drive-through facility specifically for a McDonald's. I also note that for queuing to occur back out of the site and through the roundabout on Smith Street and Lower Gibb Street, the queues would have to exceed 50% of what Transport suggests. So we have to get queues of up to about 20 vehicles coming out of the site for it to have an impact on traffic flow. We note that Lower Gibb Street is a dead-end street. So even if I was wrong and there was some minor queuing out onto the street, it still wouldn't affect any traffic flow. But we are satisfied that the queuing provided on site satisfies Transport for New South Wales guidelines. It will exceed Transport for New South Wales guidelines, and therefore a combination of the measures that council has suggested in Condition 10 and the evidence that we provided in part of the traffic report, and I've reiterated here today, means that Condition 14 is not required.
Tim, if you had to satisfy that condition, what would the report say that it satisfies traffic for New South Wales and there shouldn't be any queuing?
Well, there shouldn't be any queuing because we satisfy. It's like Chair saying I haven't got enough parking spaces, but I satisfy the DCP.
Right. Okay.
Just wondering on that point, if I can. Sorry, and Chair, just on that point, if Is there a problem, I'm just thinking in terms of the traffic and queue management plan, is there a problem having a plan that says if in the circumstances that there is an excessive queue because, I don't know, all the people going to Woolworths one day all want to pick up a burger on the way home, if there is an excessive queue, you'll have a process in place to manage it? Because isn't that basically what that condition is saying, that you'll have a process in place in the event that there would be a particular rush on and therefore there is a queuing problem? I'm just...
Well,
so you're saying that's not likely to happen because of the guidelines from transport agencies. But I'm just wondering, is there a problem having a sort of a backup plan that if for some reason there was a problem, then you know how to manage it on that day? Isn't that what that plan's asking for?
Well, we don't think it's necessary because McDonald's have their own in-house protocols to manage these arrangements. It's simply that if you if there, for any reason the drive-through queue gets extended and the wait bays are full, then you direct cars to go and park in the parking spaces. And that's simply what they would do here. You direct cars down the ramp to park in the lower level car park and have their purchases delivered to their car down there, which is exactly what they do at any other site.
So isn't condition 14 just saying that you need to just have that signed off so that the council's comfortable that the way in which you do that in this location is appropriate, rather than relying on standard operating procedures for McDonald's, which may operate in a number of different locations?
I'm not going to sit here and say, argue the point that's not necessary, that you wouldn't do that. If that's what we need to do to get an approval, then we'll accept the condition. I just think it's overkill. And as I said, it's the same example as if to say, you don't think I've got enough parking, but I comply with the DCP. Would you say the same thing? I've got to have a plan to accommodate more parking. We're saying the standard is the transport guidelines. We more than satisfy the transport guidelines. So why is a condition necessary?
Okay. As I understand, it's come from community concern. And it's not so hard, is it, to just say that it complies. But if in the event, as Sue was saying, that the queuing does become excessive, this is what we'll do. It's probably a one-pager, you know, but something that's on record for council.
As I said, if that's what is needed to get an approval today, we'd certainly accept that condition.
Okay.
What about a condition that actually says what you've just said, that if there are excess queuing patrons, it'd be directed to the car park?
Well, Chair, that would be... if I have to prepare a management plan, that's exactly what my management plan is going to say.
Right.
Yeah, but that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. panel members, any other questions? Rod?
Look, Tim, while you're on, I just have one other question. You're obviously going to attract some footfall here, as much as this is aimed at people driving in. You are trying to service workers in the area. I just wonder about the... adequateness of the pedestrian refuge across Smith Street.
Yeah,
do you have a view on that?
I do. I think that we again don't oppose the recommendation. We think it's an appropriate outcome. I was part of the Woolworths development. Those measures were put in place at the other roundabout. They seem to work fine. I mean, one of the things I noticed about the Woolworths development, it provides a great car park for the kid facility on the other side of Smith Street, which has no parking. So there seems to be no problems with parents with young children crossing Smith Street at the pedestrian refuge at the intersection with a lane street. In fact, it's much safer than trying to cross it without the pedestrian refuge.
Thank you.
Okay, panel members, any other questions that any of the members from the applicant
Thank you, Chair.
Need to be asked? I take that as a no. Thank you. Members from the applicant for attending and the residents who have attended to watch the proceedings. At 2:29, the public meeting is officially closed. What will happen now is that the panel will meet and we will discuss this item as well as the other two items that are on the agenda. And the matter will be the determinations by the panel will be put on the council's website, hopefully within the next few days. So thank you very much for your attendance and keep your eye on the council's website. Thank you. And can I just remind the panel members, if you could log off, I think there's another invitation to